Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Sound Heart Radio. There is a very important verse that I want you to understand. If you have a Bible, I would like for you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. This is in the New Testament, of course. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. This very important verse reads as follows, quote, and this letter, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to the believers at Thessalonica. Quote, test all things, and there's a semicolon, hold fast what is good. I want you, however, to concentrate on the first part of this verse. Test all things, or examine thoroughly all things. How many things? A few things? No. Paul wrote, test all things, hold fast what is good, unquote. So, examine thoroughly, examine carefully, examine methodically, so as to have a very sound appreciation for what is going on. This is very powerful and very important. While you and I live in the devil's world, we cannot afford to assume. And it is contrary to the Word of God to assume. God has provided us 66 books in both the Old Testament and the New Testament so that we would be very astute and therefore very powerful individuals. So, the devil, from the term diabolos, from the prefix dia, through, and the word logos. So, we have this term diabolos, or devil, which means the one who divides people for no reason. I want you to really study this verse. I want you to memorize it. I want you to keep it in your hearts. And the Word of God, understand the Word of God is our standard, our rule, our canon by which we live. Tonight, I want to speak to you about, well, from Joshua 9, and about the Gibeonite deception. The Gibeonite deception. And the title of this show is Beware of the Deceiving Power of the Empirical Lie. That is, believing what one sees. Believing what is before one's eyes, believing that in this manner, that is through empiricism, I can have a complete or satisfactory awareness of what is going on. Let me tell you, oftentimes that is not the case. Now, empiricism is one type of epistemology that has been very useful. We, on the other hand, persons of faith, have a different epistemology, that is, theory of awareness of or knowledge or understanding that is based on the Word of God. Now, in these shows, we are talking about Joshua's conquest of Canaan, which began about 1230 B.C. And we've also noted that Pharaoh Manerpah spoke about battling the Israelites in Canaan in about 1220 B.C. The first conquest of the people of God in Canaan was Jericho. And Jericho is a key site for the Neolithic period. It is the earliest town in the world having public buildings and impressive fortifications at about 8,000 BCE. And this is in the entire Near East. So it was a strategic necessity to conquer Jericho. Next we talk about, and Jericho typifies the world. In chapter 7, we have Ai, Ai and what happened there, the defeat, and Ai and the recovering of faith in Ai, which is a type, Ai is a type of the flesh. So in chapter 8, Ai is destroyed. Chapter 9, we have, of Joshua, we have the Gibeonite deception. And the Gibeonite deception is chilling. It is very dangerous because here we have the devil coming into play. I want you to understand some very important things about this new world, about Canaan. The country was filled with schools and libraries. The country had richly furnished palaces and workshops for artisans. The cities in the coast had their fleets, partly merchantmen and partly warships. And there was also an active trade carried on with all parts of the known world. Also, the place, Canaan was filled with sin. The discovery of Ugaritic documents at Ras Shamra in Syria has opened up detailed information about Canaanite religious practices. In Canaan, we have religious prostitution, child sacrifice, etc. And even Albright called the religion of Canaan, or the religions of Canaan, depraved. Now, Gibeon was only about 5 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And so we have, at the beginning of chapter 9, a confederacy against Yahweh and his people. Notice chapter 9, verse 1. Now when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, those in the hill country and in the western foothills and along the entire coast of the Great Sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they came together to make war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. The men put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." Now, it is significant that Joshua's camp was at Gilgal. At Gilgal, things were said to be put off from the people of God. And where Gilgal means to roll away. Gilgal is very profound in Jewish history. But I want you to notice this psychops. I want you to note the psychological operation. I want you to note the strategy of the Gibeonites. They put together a ruse that is false empirical evidence designed to prejudice in favor of the Gibeonites. Verse 7, the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "But perhaps you live near us. How then can we make a treaty with you? We are your servants," they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, "Who are you and where do you come from?" The answer, "Your servants have come from a very far distance, a very distant country, because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. Our elders and all those living in our country said to us, 'Take provisions for your journey. Go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants, make a treaty with us.'" What did the people of God do? Now notice. Notice what it said in verse 12. "This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left to come to you. But now, see how dry and moldy it is, and the wineskins that we filled were new. But see how cracked and worn they are in our clothes, and sandals are worn out by the very long journey." Verse 14, the men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live. And the leaders of the assembly ratified it by an oath. Now, so here it is. People of God use the dry, moldy bread taste test. They sample the old bread, and this was witness enough for the people of God. Whether Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "Test all things." Was this a test? They were led by their eyes and not by faith. They fell for the empirical lie. They fell for the argumentum ad hominem, argument to the person, argument to the man. They fell for the empirical lie, which prejudiced them, that is the people of God, against God. Notice the language. In verse 14, the men of Israel sampled their provisions, inquire of the Lord. Beloved, you and I cannot afford to not inquire of the Lord. We need the Lord in every decision we make because we live in the devil's world. Please read this account. Read prayerfully, thoroughly, and God bless you in the revelation that God provides for you. Good evening, Josiah Rich.